thank you, Mr. James Webb, playing Mr. Wes Tuttle via disc. Ah, the modern technology of the world. Lila, how you doing, hon? How was the traffic? She's got a bullhorn for her. Oh, they're taking 18 wheelers behind them. Okay, let's get ready. We're going to do something a little special tonight. So what we need to do, first of all, is go into prayer and get ready for our study tonight. Let me see. Now, just on a minor scale, but it's pain. Wes Tuttle burned his thumb today, so he's back there in pain, but he still came to church. So he said one pain's as good as another pain. So just was a little prayer that his thumb will endure for class. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
My wife's uncle is could probably die tonight. He's got, I guess he had leukemia or some kind of thing.
How old of a man is he?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Is he great?
Yes, he's in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
So,
All right.
No hope for him.
But he was in Greece.
Yes, he's in Greece.
Okay.
The family, my wife, is he was a fun guy to be with. He had a farm in the village, so he wasn't in the big city. We always had a good time there. We had fun back and forth.
Now, do you know in Greece, the country of Greece, is cremation a big deal?
No.
So they still have lots of cemeteries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes put them in a cemetery and then take their bones and bury them somewhere else.
That's a nice deal.
I still haven't figured out all the who goes where and when.
And when they change them. I don't know. I've shared a lot of things, but when I was in Africa, we're driving different countries and I never saw a cemetery. And so we're driving with some guys that we're pretty close. And I said, let me just ask you a private question. I said, when somebody dies here, where do y'all bury him? He said, oh, out near the river, in the backyard, in the side of the house, wherever there's a place. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, no regulations, nothing. You just take them out, put them in the ground.
I don't know if it's still a country, I don't know if it's still in that chain, whatever, but we were talking about Mexico. And over there, they get buried. We told me that I buried our family in the cemetery. I got to pay a monthly fee to keep them.
Huh.
If I don't pay the monthly fee, they take them out, bury them, and throw them away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
That's
the way to make money. Keep the money rolling in, or we'll get rid of your ancestors. Oh. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Please be in prayer. Yes. Okay. Be in prayer. Please be in prayer for Judah's family. And they're in great need of the prayer. And a lot of different airways, different members. So let's begin with the word of prayer as we prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let's pray. We know, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ is God, has always been God. At one point, He came to earth taking the form of man. We call that the celebration of Christmas. He lived a perfect, sinless life. But He died a cruel death, paying for the debt of sins. penalty of sins for all members of the human race. He's taken off the cross and buried, and that's what we're studying right now, Father. We know that he will rise again. And he right now sits at your right hand. So, Father, as we learn more and more about him, pray that he more and more will become the great issue in our life. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. By the way, Jim, would you mind passing that out? Jerry, do you mind passing that out? These are different than the handouts from last week. And after you get a copy of everything, I'll we'll talk about them. He thought maybe you got a special privilege.
Well, I thought Jerry was going to mess me and all
Okay, you should have two handouts. One of them, the Passover week and the two Sabbaths, and then the one that goes the long ways on your page. Okay, now let's go through a couple of things. Last week, we spent some time on there are two Sabbaths, the week of the crucifixion, and went through a couple of handouts on that. Had some questions. I want to go back over and make some clarification. This happens every year, once a year, throughout the history of Israel, the Old Testament. And the day of the week will vary. And if you think about it, sometime the two Sabbaths will overlap. They'll actually both be on a Saturday. Probably what would it be every 7 or 8 years. So, but there always will be one time a year, and that's in the first month of the Jewish calendar, Nisan, N-I-S-A-N, and that's the month of the Passover, and that's when you have two. Now, we're going to look at this very quickly tonight, and if you have any questions, just let me know. We'll kind of go over them. What I'd like to do to see the problem, let's look at Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. Now, we're going to read two different passages, but you'll have to correlate with me what's going on. Mark chapter 15, verse 47, and the first verse in chapter 16. Verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were looking on to see where he was laid. So that means this would be on the Wednesday evening, around 6 o'clock. They want to see where he's being laid. And when the Sabbath was over, so this is after the Sabbath. Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Okay, so this occurs after the Sabbath. Now look at Luke chapter 23. Go back just a few pages to Luke 23. Or forward, excuse me. Luke 23, verse 56. Luke 23, 56. And now, verse 55. Well, verse 54, when the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin, now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices, perfumes, and on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. This is before the Sabbath. So we have two things going on. One passage, the Mark passage after the Sabbath, and then the Luke passage before the Sabbath. And we've already studied last week to introduce the issue. I talked about how Jesus Christ celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples, and then was crucified, and there was another Sabbath. Now, the question that I did not cover last week, why? Why are there two Sabbaths? And it's very interesting. I really, really enjoy talking with Kit. He's a good student of the Word. And after our 1 o'clock class, we spent some time. And what is the documentation of the two Sabbaths? Okay, look at Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Now, I hope you know, you got Exodus, that's coming out of Egypt. Leviticus. Leviticus is the priestly code, the sacrifices, the all the way things are to be done properly. So this is in that section. Leviticus 23, and let's start in verse 1 of Leviticus 23. And if you have a Bible that gives you some kind of a title, some of them say this is the Feast of the Lord, others Laws of Religious Festival, this type of thing. But let's read from verse 1, Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, I don't know how he spoke to him. I don't know if he just came in the form of a pre-incarnation and just sat down and talked to him like two people. I don't know. But I do know the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, now watch, and say to them, The Lord's appointed times, plural, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, plural. That is Sabbaths. Convocations are Sabbaths. My appointed times, plural, are these. Okay. For 6 days, verse 3, for 6 days work may be done. I like that may be done. If you don't want to work, you don't have to know. But for six days work may be done. But on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. Coming off of verse 2, verse 3, it's a Sabbath. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. That's the regular weekly Sabbath every week in the Jewish calendar. Now, verse 4 is where we start moving into our study. Two Sabbaths. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These are the appointed times, plural, of the Lord, holy convocations, Sabbaths, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. Plural Sabbaths, the times appointed for them. In the first month, okay, the first month in the Jewish calendar is Nisan. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, not a day of the week, but a date, the 14th day of the month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Okay, do you see it? You've got the weekly one just stated. Now you've got a special one dealing with the Lord's Passover. Now, the days of the week are not an issue. It's the day of the week. Just in our calendar, Christmas can be any day of the week. It's the 25th. That's the issue. On the other hand, Turkey Day is the same Thursday every year, every month, every year. So it just that's the kind of thing I'm trying to get you to balance out, how there are two Sabbaths this one week in the burial of the Lord. So verse 4, these are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, Sabbaths, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. If this is one of the appointed times. In the first month, Nisan, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Now this means that the evening of the 14th, the day of the 14th, is a day of preparation. Then that evening at 6 starts a special Sabbath. Whatever day of the week it isn't the issue. What you're dealing with is the Lord's Passover. Now, I'm trying to make this as simple and as clear as I possibly can. Is everybody with me? Do you have any questions? Okay? I'm just trying to make this just very simple and clear as I possibly could for you and for me. So, the day of the 14th is a day of preparation. The night of the 14th begins a special Sabbath with the Passover. Now, let's go on and take verse 6. Then, on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a Sabbath to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. First day of this week is a Sabbath. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, first thing, two things you want to know about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. One, it lasts a week. Two, the first day is a Sabbath. Whatever day of the week it occurs, it's a Sabbath. Okay, that's what he's saying. Verse 7. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation, a Sabbath. You shall not do any laborious work. Verse 8. But for 7 days, you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the 7th day is a holy convocation, another Sabbath. You shall not do any laborious work. So there are two Sabbaths in 1 week. When? That's the question. When? Every year. Every year in the month of Nisan, the first month. So every year, but the day of the week will be different each year. But the day of the month will be the same. Now, according to people who do all this math or calendar stuff, for Christ to have been crucified on Friday, and there would have been two feasts, that would have had to have been 30 or 33 A.D. For our understanding, if we understand, and I want to, Judith asked me an important question. So what? Why are we spending all this time on this? I'm going to end with that tonight. But I'm going to jump ahead and just tell you this. People, prophecy has to be accurate. If you can't miss it by a day, a couple of days, the Bible makes it very clear, that's a false prophet. It's a false prophet. So we're going to see that this is, becomes very important in that respect. Now, on the first day after the Passover, Nisan 15, is a feast day or high day, because it is the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is therefore considered a Sabbath, regardless of which day of the week it falls. Now, we're not going to do it right now, but if you were taking notes, read Numbers 28, 16 through 18. Verse 18 clearly indicates that the first day of after Passover, Nisan the 15th, is to be observed as a Sabbath. It's to be observed as a Sabbath. So it has been throughout Jewish history, right up to this day, if they're Orthodox. Okay. Now, the Gospel of John makes it clear that the Sabbath after the crucifixion was not a regular Sabbath. Rather, it was a feast day Sabbath, marking it the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Consider the words, John 19:31. Let's look at John 19. Gospel of John 19. John 19. And let's read verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was a day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. Right there's your clue. That Sabbath. This is not the normal Friday Sabbath. This is not talking about Friday going into Saturday. See? the cross on the remain on the cross on the Sabbath. This is going to be starting Wednesday night. For that Sabbath was a high day. That's what these special Sabbaths each year are called. A high day, so that the Jews can distinguish between, well, we got two Sabbaths this week. One's the high Sabbath, one's the normal Sabbath. Okay, any problem? Understanding that word, high Sabbath. It means this is not the regular Sabbath. This is a high Sabbath. This is one that goes all the way back to Leviticus and puts it in place for us. And therefore, just finished in the seventh verse, the Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. In other words, break their legs, that would guarantee death. You break their legs, they'd die. Excruciating pain. Therefore, everybody would be dead. They can take them off the cross, get them buried that day before 6. Okay? That's why, when it came to Jesus, he didn't break his legs. He was already dead. So they didn't break his legs, fulfilling prophecy. Not one bone of his body would be broken. So that's what's going on in that respect. So this was a high Sabbath. This is the middle of the week one, or the first one of the two that will come up in that week. Now, Jesus was buried on Wednesday around sunset. I'm sorry, the clock had not been invented. So they didn't have a clock. Say, okay, 6 o'clock, he's got to be in. Didn't do that. I still wonder how they knew what time to set the clock when they first invented it, but that's a whole other discussion. Now, the two Marys waited until after the high Sabbath on Thursday, to purchase the spices for anointing of Jesus. They couldn't do it on that day because that was the day of the crucifixion. So, and they couldn't do it the day that at Thursday. So they couldn't do it on Thursday. So they waited till after the high Sabbath on Thursday to purchase the spices for anointing of Jesus. They brought the spices on Friday and then rested again during the regular Sabbath on Saturday. And then before returning to the tomb on Sunday morning to actually do the anointing. Okay, any problem with what the ladies are doing? Okay, the resurrection of Jesus occurred on Saturday evening, sometime after 6 p.m. The resurrection was discovered on Sunday morning when the women returned to the tomb. Okay? So this is what's going on in that respect. Any questions? Okay, the first thing I want you to look at is the one that says the Passover week. The Passover week and two Sabbaths. I found this one and really liked it. I think it's clear. If you're a serious student, and those of you that came back again for more of this, you must be serious. So let's be sure we got all of this down. It is necessary to examine the following facts in order to understand the relationship between the Jewish Passover and the Christian Easter celebration. The Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar is tied to the moon and follows the lunar cycles. The Jewish year has 12 months. And because it is based on the circling of the moon, a Jewish year has 354 days, with 29 or 30 days in each month. Compare that with the Roman calendar we use today that follows the solar sun cycles of 365 days. Okay, so we now know what calendar the Jews are using and which calendar the solar calendar, Romans, once we do, the Jewish using a lunar calendar. Now, continuing. And by the way, as we read this, got any questions, raise your hand. If I don't know, I'll find out. All right. A Jewish day begins and ends at 6 p.m. But they began counting the daylight hours at 6 a.m. Evidence of this can be found in the four Gospels by searching third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. A day in the Roman calendar begins and ends at midnight. That's when ours does. Now, to me, Jewish makes much more sense. Makes much more sense for it to begin or end at 6 in the p.m. And 6 in the morning. I mean, who wants to wake up in the middle of the night and go into the new day? So you just sleep from the low end of one day to another one. But be that as it may, continuing, Jews who are actually this paragraph we don't really need to read. It deals with a set of Jews. Now let's go up to the top of the page. Here's a glimpse of what time was like in the first century when the gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection were recorded. You might want to put this, just take this and either copy it, put it in your Bible so you'll always have it. First hour, that's dawn to 8 a.m. Second hour, that is dawn is 6. 6 to 8 a.m. Second hour, 8 to 9. Third hour, 9 to 10. That's what I said. Huh? 6 in the morning. 6 in the morning. Yeah, I know it. Well, they just kind of put it together. Put that time. All I'm showing you is when you read in the Bible first hour, that's what it's talking about. From 6. Do what? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Second hour, 8 to 9 a.m. Third hour, 9 to 10. Fourth hour, 10 to 11. Fifth hour, 11 to noon. Sixth hour. Remember when we read that? The sixth hour, it got dark around Jerusalem. Okay. The sixth hour, 12 to 1. Seventh hour, 1 to 2. Eighth hour, 2 to 3. See? Ninth hour, take it off the cross, 3 to 4. Tenth hour, 4 to 5. Eleventh hour, 5 to 6. Twelfth hour, 6 p.m. to sunset. Okay? Now, nighttime. First watch, sunset to 9 p.m. Second watch, 9 p.m. to midnight. Third watch, midnight to 3 a.m. That's the tough. That's where the new recruits get the guard duty, is that one. All right. Fourth watch, 3 to sunrise. All right. The Jewish Passover. Few Christians know that the Jewish Passover is currently a seven-day period in Israel. Now, you do, because we just read it from Leviticus. Few Christians know that the Jewish Passover is currently a seven-day period in Israel, 8 days for the Jews who live outside of Israel. At the time of Christ, the Jews had two names for the same festival. It was called the Feast of the Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They both began that day. The first month in the Jewish calendar is Nisan and occurs during the months of March through April in the Roman calendar. Nisan is the month that the Passover is observed. It's the month that the Passover is observed and the unleavened bread. The 13th day of Nisan is called Forget Tuesday right now. He's putting it in perspective of our study of the week of Christ's crucifixion. Of Nisan is called the preparation day for the Passover. This is Tuesday by the calendar that we're looking at. 13th day of Nisan, preparation day, Tuesday. The Passover meal is eaten after 6 p.m., which means that it is eaten on the 14th day of Nisan. That's when Christ ate it with his disciples. from the New Testament, we know that Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover meal on a Tuesday night. And it gives you the references. Now, the 14th day, Wednesday, of Nisan was called the first day of the Passover, and people worked their normal jobs during the day. This was the day that Jesus was brought to Pilate and was crucified the sixth hour. Actually, it started at 9 in the morning. Now, the 15th day, Thursday, 15th day of Nisan, was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and also known as the High Sabbath. This is when Jesus is put into the tomb. This is not to be confused with the regular Sabbath. The High Sabbath was a holy day for the Jews. No work could be done on this day. That's why all those things had to be done by six. All roads and bridges leading to Jerusalem had been cleaned the day before from garbage and the corpse of dead animals and had been removed. Furthermore, all graves had been whitewashed so that the pilgrims coming to Jerusalem would not be defiled. And that's why he said, you whitewash tombstone, defilement. This was the reason the Jewish leadership did not want to have anyone hanging on a cross on the 16th day, Friday, of Nisan, the morrow after the Sabbath, and this was the day of the cutting of barley sheaves. Now, the 17th day of Nisan, this is the year Jesus was crucified, was the regular Sabbath. Jesus rose from the dead sometime between 6 p.m. Saturday night and 6 a.m. on the first day of the week, Sunday morning. This timeline is consistent with Jesus' words that he would be dead 3 days and three nights. And people, that's the whole, why all this important stuff? The accuracy of prophecy. You can't just say, well, it was part of 3 days, but some part of three nights. No. That's sloppy prophecy. This is specific. Look what he said. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It doesn't say part of 3 days, part of three nights, 3 days, three nights. And it is interesting how some people who are so adamant when they come to Genesis about the 24-hour days and in other time periods in the Bible, but with this one, well, it's just part of 3 days, three nights. No, it isn't. It's 3 days, three nights. I had a wonderful professor in seminary, Dr. Harold Horner, and wrote a book, and he was very adamant that it was Friday, and he and I would sit down in coffee and we'd get in each other's face on it. And we finally, every time we agree to disagree, he still gave me a decent grade. He didn't take me in under the carpet for it. But it just is amazing. If you want things to fit your tradition rather than the Word of God, you twist the Word of God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't hold on to a Roman Catholic Friday at the expense of the Word of God. You don't want to do that. Now, continue reading. Jesus was dead and in the grave at the beginning of the 15th day, Thursday, Nisan. That would be Wednesday night, begins Thursday at 6 p.m. Using the timeline, Jesus provided of 3 full days and nights. Thursday night was the first complete day. Friday night, the second complete day. Saturday night, the third complete day. It was correctly interpreted. If we correctly interpret the timeline provided by the four Gospels, it is not possible for Jesus to have been crucified on Friday, as commonly taught, but he was crucified and buried on Wednesday. Please refer to the scripture citations of the Passover week and the timeline for specific times of that week. Now, just a little more reading off of this one. The period from 17th to the 20th day of Nisan was called the Lesser Festival. It is interesting that the Christian Easter week in 2015 is observed from March 29th through April 5th, while the Jewish Passover is or was observed from April the 3rd to April the 11th. Okay? Which week is correct? It is impossible to know since there is no real conversion rate between a solar year and a lunar year. What is important is that we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Christians sometimes react with hostility to information that contradicts what, quote, they know to be true, Friday crucifixion. It is my hope that you would examine your assumptions of truth through the clear lens of a sincere biblical analysis. It should be the goal of every Christian to debunk the devil's lies about our Savior's death and resurrection. Given the facts, it is a blatant lie that Jesus was crucified on Friday, and no Christian should be perpetuating that lie. Okay, now, you have another handout. Reads Long Way. Herman, why does it read Long Way? I don't know. I don't know why it reads that way. James knows why it reads that way, but I don't. Okay, The Two Sabbaths of Passover Week by Wayne Blank. I told James, hey, James did this one for us. I told him, he said, what's the matter? You don't want to say his name? I said, no, that's his name, Wayne Blank. I bet he had a lot of trouble growing up, Wayne Blank. Okay, the actual series of events, as stated in the Holy Bible, for the two preparation days for the two Sabbaths that particular Passover week, the names of Roman calendar days are also included to assist in understanding, keeping in mind that biblical calendar days begin and end at sunset. Okay, sunset, Monday, to sunset, Tuesday. This takes you into Monday night and all day Tuesday. Preparation of the room where the Messiah could observe the Passover with the apostles. Tuesday afternoon, and he gives you this reference, and he gives the Bible references. Now, sunset Tuesday to sunset Wednesday, Nisan the 14th. The Messiah observed his Passover preparation, also known as the Last Supper, with the apostles, Tuesday evening, just after sunset, gives the scripture references. After 10 p.m., Tuesday evening, they went out and entered the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, we don't know if it was 10, it could be any time, but they'd give them time to have enjoyed their entire Seder and the first Lord's Supper and all, and then they walked out of the room, and that's what he's saying here. And the Messiah prayed. Let's see. Tuesday evening, they went out and entered the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Messiah prayed and was then arrested by the mob led by the traitor Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas had left the room the night before the Passover, before the Seder. Okay, this gives you scripture references. Now, the Messiah was taken to the house of Caiaphas, we studied the six trials, the high priest, and was held there from about 11 p.m. Tuesday to dawn Wednesday. Throughout the night, Jesus was brutalized and mocked by the religious council and their thugs. And gives the date on that, or the scripture references. Now, we know that in this time frame, there were six trials. at daybreak, Wednesday, Jesus, well, that was to be five, now we come to the sixth. Daybreak, Wednesday, Jesus was taken to Pontius Pilate, who declared him innocent of any wrongdoing. Pilate then sent Jesus to Herod Antipas, so this would be the fifth trial before Herod Antipas, who happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. During the same time, Judas tried to return his 30 silver coins to the Sanhedrin and hung himself. Scripture reference. Herod Antipas, after listening to the accusations, also declared Jesus an innocent man. Having done nothing deserving of death, he then sent him back to Pilate. Remember that Herod was upset because Jesus wouldn't pull any rabbits out of the hat for him, wouldn't do any miracles for him. Pilate, again, tried, this will be the sixth trial, to have Jesus released, but eventually gave in to the frenzied mob. He released the murderer, Barabbas, and handed Jesus over to be crucified, knowing full well that Jesus of Nazareth was an innocent man, just as they all knew that he was innocent. Now, tell you something, history, fun for history. I don't know how you mean know this. One of my favorite things, I think you read it too, in the Dallas Morning News. I'll look at the front page to see if the rapture's occurred. And if the rapture has not occurred, then I go over to where they have the dates in history of important things. I love that. Well, today, in 1964, I believe it was, Pope, Pope Pius VI pardoned, abdicated all Jews of a collective guilt of crucifying Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's just so wonderful. I mean, it's just the absurdity. I mean, if you really study the Bible, you better absolve all the Romans, too. They actually did the crucifying. So let's get everybody in there. But it's just amazing. And even to this day, a lot of Roman Catholics still blame the Jews. Martin Luther blamed the Jews. And it's just amazing. Now, if you don't study the scriptures, you get your facts all messed up. But the Jews were responsible in the trials, but there were Roman trials. Roman trials with no Jews testifying. Romans. So Rome is just as guilty, Gentiles just as guilty of Jews, the whole human race crucified our Savior. All right, next to the last on the bottom, Pilate tried, I read that one, now the bottom one. The Roman military then took charge of Jesus. They sadistically tortured and beat him nearly to death through the morning on Wednesday, and then took him to out of the city for the crucifixion. And he gives the scripture reference. The death of the Lamb of God, about 3 p.m. Wednesday, his burial in the tomb, which we're in the midst of studying, was just before sunset on Wednesday afternoon. Scripture reference. Sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday, Nisan 15. Now, he says first day. This is first night and first day. This is night one, day one. Christ is in the tomb, night and day one. The unleavened days of the Passover. On the first day of Passover, unleavened bread, the annual Sabbath was that many mistakenly believe refers to the weekly Sabbath because it also a day after preparation day. Pilate had guards posted at the tomb. We'll study that. And the tomb watchers. And there's scripture references. Sunset Thursday to sunset Friday. This is night and day two. Christ is in the tomb, night and day two. Scripture reference. Sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. Day three. Day, the third day of the unleavened bread. Christ is in the tomb, night and day three. The resurrection was just before the sunset on Saturday afternoon, exactly 3 days, 3 nights after he died. See? And he gives a scripture reference. Sunset Saturday to sunset Sunday, Nisan the 18th, fourth day of unleavened bread, the empty for nearly 12 hours since just before sunset on Saturday, the tomb was discovered by the women and the apostles long before sunrise on Sunday morning. The risen Christ spoke to Mary of Magdalene, not to his mother, not to that beautiful, wonderful woman who the Catholic Church says is a way of salvation and forgives sins. They spoke to Mary Magdalene and the fact finder and the scripture references. So, any questions about why there are two Sabbaths this week, how they fall, why they're there, all this, putting all these passages together? Got it? Yes.
When I was growing up in the Catholic Church, every Sunday we used to have, say, five different services at our parish. And there was one mass was called High Mass.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he took it after this.
I'm sure that they copied it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the reason, what the difference was. I can't remember anymore.
No, I don't know.
But now that you talked about that, it rang a bell.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, making
you have to ask some of your Catholic friends. I don't know.
No, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So, what I wanted to do, yes?
Why did you Sunday call the Pontifical Day for worship?
How did the Roman Sunday come to be a counterfeit day of worship for millions of Roman Catholic and Protestants? What Roman emperor declared that the... Well, you go into the fact finder to get those answers, Romeo.
Constantine.
I'm sorry?
Constantine.
It was Constantine? Okay.
Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. That's why I married her.
I didn't get what you said.
Yeah. Constantine. Constantine.
Constantine. Yeah, but we also claim that Sunday was the worship was moved to Sunday because of the Sabbath. So my question is, why is it called the counterfeit day of worship?
Why is it called?
Because we also explained that Sunday is our day of worship because of, in honor of the resurrection.
Oh, why do we call this Sunday? Even in our calendar now? Ah.
We will be to Sunday because it is the resurrection day.
All right, that was the Roman calendar, and it was to glorify
the sun god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Jewish Sabbath is on Saturday.
The Jews were calling it counterfeit because they didn't like Sunday.
But we have the Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day after the Sabbath. That's what we have.
Yeah, why call it counterfeit, and then we are worshiping, we are doing our services also on Sunday. And we justify it by saying that it was moved to Sunday. Christian moved it to Sunday.
Are you saying we shouldn't call it Sunday?
No, why call it counterfeit?
Why is it here labeled counterfeit worship Sunday?
In my opinion,
what is this question?
Why do they call it counterfeit Sunday when we worship on Sunday, and why are they saying it's counterfeit?
Okay.
Why counterfeit? I have a feeling that the one who prepared this is the Seventh-day Adventist.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. But
we
don't think it's counterfeit.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Just like I did tonight from last week, I'll find out, and next week I'll answer you. Okay? All right.
Because,
in Christian community, it's acceptable that Sunday is because of the in honor of resurrection. Suppose that counterfeit worship is something, but the only people who can say that are the Seventh-day Adventists.
And the
because
Jews.
They are strict on the Sunday, Saturday observance.
Well, I'll answer you next week then. Any other questions that I might be able to answer now? Or if not, I'll get it for you. Okay. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you very much for your interest. And like I said, if you get any other questions, you read through this, please let me know. We'll find out. I've had a lot of fun doing the research. Kit and I spent some time Sunday and then went home, did more work. And James got the long one done for you, and so let's close in a word of prayer. Why is all this important, Heavenly Father? For the accuracy of Scripture. We few people in this room believe that this book is divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible. And therefore, when it says our Savior was in the grave 3 days and three nights, we believe that. Not part of 3 days, part of three nights, 3 days, three nights. And believing that, Heavenly Father, we find that you orchestrated a week in history, that these two Sabbaths would fall in the same week, that the days in between would fit perfectly the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. What an awesome God you are. So what we're really learning tonight is how wonderful you are, how awesome you are. You work all things together for the good of your plan. Father, pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen tonight, use them to your glory and that of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.